a break. We're going to get to My Miracle Marine, the story of three-time Purple Heart recipient Lance Corporal John McClellan. He is in the studio with me and being shot in the brain, and doctors saying he really didn't much have much of a chance for a normal life, could live in a vegetative state. Well, now he's here to talk about his experience. Amazing. Thank God. Stay with us.
Democracy is less a system of government than it is a system to keep government limited, unintrusive, a system of constraints on power to keep politics and government secondary to the important things in life, the true sources of value found only in family and faith.
The Laura Ingraham Show.
Show. My Miracle Marine. It's a story of three-time Purple Heart recipient, then Lance Corporal John McClellan, now Corporal John McClellan. He hastened to remind me. He's in the studio with us, John McClellan, and his mom, Connie, is with us on the phone. And I have this book in my hands, and I got to tell you, take politics away from me for a moment. This puts a huge smile on my face because it's a story of patriotism, of courage, of honor, and the power of prayer and recovery, all of it wrapped into one wonderful narrative in this book. And it's great to see you, John and Connie. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank
Thanks
you.
For having us.
Corporal, excuse me. Let me just, for our listeners who don't know this story, I'm just going to tell it, and then we're going to go through sort of beginning to end because it's riveting. Go back to June of 2005. There was 19-year-old Marine Lance Corporal John McClellan. He deployed to Kunar Province in Afghanistan. 5 months later, on duty, machine gunner, and he shot twice in the same arm. Now, they weren't very major. These are minor injuries. They're injuries nonetheless. 6 days later, he was shot a second time. Again, AK-47 bullet entered and exit the upper portion of his right arm. Now, neither injury really hurt, according to, you know, you, John. It was no big deal. You went back to the turret. September 11th, 2006, McClellan deployed to Haditha. What happened, John?
As far as I know, like, when we first got there, we're getting worked pretty hard, you know, from doing guard duty in the guard towers to doing patrols through the city. And the last thing I remember was actually being in a guard tower. That's like, in some of the reports, I say I was in a guard tower and got shot, and then come to find out I was on a patrol and we were crossing the road and got shot by a sniper.
And where did the bullet enter?
I went in right next to my left ear and exited out the back of my head.
So it went through your part of your brain.
Yeah.
Connie, where were you when you got word that your son, after having been injured twice, shots in the arm and now obviously shot in the head, grievously wounded, where were you?
We were sleeping, actually. It was about 12:15 in the morning, our time here in Missouri.
And what was said to you, and what was your reaction?
Well, when I first answered the phone, I was excited because I thought it was John calling, because his days are our night, and so normally that would be him calling. But when I realized that it was a gentleman from the hospital in Balad telling us that that he had been gravely injured and indicated that a sniper had shot him through the head. He had just endured 5 hours of brain surgery where they removed bone fragments and brain tissue, and then he had the doctor call us back in an hour to give us an update.
What was the prognosis soon after that for him?
If he survived the brain swelling, he would never be the same and would more than likely be a vegetable.
At that point, Connie, you're a mother, and I can, as a new mother, I think I can't, I don't know how you can be after that. I just don't know how you are. What was the first thing you did?
first thing that I did when my husband and I got off the telephone was to go to my email address book and send an email to all of the people who had been on my address book at that time, which was about 80 people. We had created quite the little prayer network for John ever since he went to boot camp. We started a prayer network asking God to protect him in every way, spiritually, emotionally, physically, and mentally. And so at that point, I sent out the email to my email entourage and told them that what had happened and asked them for a miracle from God, to pray for a miracle from God. And I led them in prayer for that miracle because I told them that was really our only hope at that point.
John, when was the first memory? What's the first memory you have had after this injury?
Waking up in the hospital in Bethesda, it was the first thing I remember. Like, and I went through, went first to Iraq, the Iraqi hospital, and then from there
Balad.
To Germany. Yeah, Balad.
And
to
Landstuhl.
Landstuhl, Germany, and then to Bethesda.
How much time had passed?
I'm actually not sure. I got to ask.
Hey, Mom, do you know how much time had passed?
He was shot on Tuesday. He was at the hospital in Balad on Wednesday, hospital of Balad, or in Germany on Thursday, and in Bethesda on Friday. Now, understand that he'd been shot in the head and that the brain swelling was such a major concern, but by Wednesday, his brain activity was normal. It was 10 to 15, the brain swelling. The intracranial pressure, that's what it is, was
what
normal.
Is
so that was one of the first mm-hmm. miracles that we experienced.
What did the doctors say when they learned that the brain activity appeared to be normal? What did they say?
They marveled. Dr. Amanda, shortly after we arrived there in Bethesda, my husband and I and my stepdaughter arrived on Saturday, and we met with him on Monday, and he told us that 99 out of 100 people with this type of injury do not survive, and that the bullet missed his carotid artery by a thickness of 2 sheets of paper.
When we come back, we're going to talk about this prayer network. What happened, and what you think now, John, your life's mission is? I mean, I think God wanted you around for something.
There's a plan for me to do something. I don't know what it is yet.
Now,
but.
Well, you're what are you, 22 now, 23, 22 years old?
22 and a half.
And let me tell you something. He walked into the studio, and he could kick the tail of anyone across the glass, sadly. Okay? He is a Marine. He's what are you, 6 foot four?
6'2".
Foot? And look, you could not look any healthier. You look fantastic, and you also have the cool scar in the back of your head, so you get the chicks with that. We're going to talk more about this, your story, and the inspiration this has provided to so many others on The Laura Ingraham Show. The book is up on our website, lauraingraham.com. It is a story of inspiration, the power of prayer in recovery, bravery, courage, and, of course, commitment to family. And Connie McClellan, the mother of Corporal John McClellan, both of them with us as we continue here. I'm going to open this up, too. I know a lot of people want to probably just say thank you. 800-876-4123, 876-4123. Again, the story, traumatic brain injury in 2006. Lance Corporal McClellan's family told that if the brain swelling went down, he would not have, obviously, a normal life, likely be in some type of vegetative state. Turns out that the prayer chain was put into effect, and Connie got this prayer going, led her address book in prayer through the Internet and then in person on the phone, and lo and behold, they believe they saw a miracle. And to look at you sitting here, John, I've got to say, I can't believe you went through what you went through,
yeah.
and I understand that you still have short-term memory problems. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's not as bad as it used to be, but now, like, when I meet new people or anything, I won't remember their names for the most part, and then it takes me a little while to catch on to newer tasks.
What's my excuse?
Yeah.
I don't really have to. Who are those people over there working for me? I don't know their names, but Connie, I know that's a challenge in recovery, and I want to talk more about the prayer aspect of this, but I think a lot of people who go through a traumatic event, they pray in the beginning, and then, you know, sometimes we forget that the prayer is, yeah, this is be a constant, because the tough part is now, I think, for John.
Yeah.
Tell us how you're doing that now to sustain him.
I'm just continuing to believe. There's two things that would come out of this story that I would want to share with the listeners is that, A, all things are possible with God, Mark 10:27. And B, if you believe and do not doubt, it will be done unto you, Mark 11:23. I've stood on those two scriptures throughout this whole thing, and I continue to stand on them. I continue to believe that he is going to be totally recovered. I'm even believing that that left ear is going to pop open, because he is deaf in his left ear. The bone was shattered next to his left ear. Mm-hmm. So he is deaf in his left ear. And also, the bullet penetrated and severed his left facial nerve. So those were a number of miracles that occurred in that recovery, because as you can see from looking at him, he looked perfectly normal.
Well, I've seen firsthand what some of these IEDs and the newer, more sophisticated IEDs have done mm-hmm. to our brave Marines. And at Bethesda Naval, before Christmas, I spent a lot of time with two families in particular, and both of their sons have since passed away. So you are a testament to our medical, you know, definitely the medical attention you received, but something else was clearly going on here. Terry in Minneapolis wants to say something. Terry, go ahead.
I just want to say thank you. I'm really moved, and I appreciate this guy. And they're not getting enough accolades. They're all paying a heavy price for being there, but this is the ultimate sacrifice. And Mom, kudos to you. You deserve it all.
Thank you.
And I'm glad you got your son.
Thank you. Oh, amen, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you want to make a career of the Marines, or you were 4 years in, 5 years in to help pay for college? What was going on?
Yeah, basically, I was one of the kids that joined for the college money, and unfortunately now I don't know if I'm mentally ready to go to college just yet, but mm-hmm. hopefully eventually.
Well, I have no doubt that you will be. You've seen improvement in your short-term memory just in the last 6 months, have you not?
Yes. Yeah, it's gotten a lot better. I mean, it used to be I would just forget everything almost. Now, I've gotten used to writing stuff down, which has helped me out a lot. So I got a system that I go through to remember things I need to remember.
Do you remember anything from Landstuhl at all, or no? Nothing?
No. Just woke up in Bethesda.
When you first woke up, what was your...
I didn't know what was going on. I had a little case of amnesia, and then, like, a couple days later, everything kind of came to, and I remembered everything.
Were you afraid?
No, I was just still a little confused at that point, but mm-hmm. it was just crazy.
Do you pray every day?
Just about.
Mm-hmm. Your mom's doing it for you.
Yeah.
Right, Connie's like, okay, I'm going to talk to him after the show. Right? I'm gonna give him a talking to. You better be praying every day, son. I know what you're going to say. Let's go to Alan in Simi Valley, beautiful Simi Valley in California, KRLA. Alan.
Yes, I have a one-liner here. I don't hear enough about the medical corps, enough credit given to the medical profession, because they go through thousands of these wonderful guys all the time, and the miracles that they perform are rarely ever heard of. We all believe in prayer, but I think that they should really be given a lot more credit than they're getting.
Oh, I agree with you. The medics and the surgeons at Balad and in Landstuhl, I think, Connie, you would agree that the conditions Balad, under which they operate. Go ahead.
Balad was really the only surgery that he had short of having. He had to have a gold weight put in his left eyelid to help it close when the facial nerve was severed. But at Balad, the surgery that was done there, Dr. Armando, who is in Bethesda, said it was just an exquisite job.
Well, and I think that you're just so our listeners are clear on this. I think you have continued to give great credit and gratitude to our medical profession and the military doctors who could be making a lot of money working in private practice, who are working in these conditions in these hospitals. They're saving lives every single day in ways that we didn't in previous conflicts.
That's exactly right.
And the website is MyMiracleMarine.com, by the way. MyMiracleMarine.com. You can buy the book there, and it's also on Amazon, of course, Barnes & Noble. And the website also has a lot of photos and videos that document John's recovery. And, John, as someone who has gone through a health challenge myself, I think of the people whose lives you've touched in what you've been able to do and what you've been able to overcome. How important is that to you moving forward?
Looking back or...
And moving forward, I mean, how important this story is going to be.
Oh, man, I really hope that someone gets inspired by it, because, I mean, it took a lot of toughing it out to get through this entire ordeal.
And Connie, what is the most important thing that you can say to the families out there? And we have a lot of military families listening, and moms and dads and brothers and sisters and wives who are worried day in and day out. What's your advice to them?
Really, my hope is in God. God's grace was with us throughout this entire experience. He gave us everything we needed. He gave us peace, rest, joy, courage, strength. He gave us eyes to establish a relationship with God and to get the prayer thing going so that that he has that covering. And because John had that covering from the get-go, not only with this injury but the first two injuries, and it just, I think it's just so critical. And throughout his recovery, he would have needs. He had so many things that were wrong with him, and each one that came up, we would send out the prayer, and we would get the answer either that day or that week or that month or that next year, and we would send out the answers to prayer. I mean, we had 24 miracles one at a time that God did for him.
And we should say that the sniper in Iraq and Haditha who shot you in the head met his maker, right?
Yes. Yeah, from what I've heard, what I heard is he got actually a couple more of my friends, and then eventually they tracked him down and got him.
How many guys in your unit were injured or KIA?
I don't know the number. Mm-hmm. Mom.
There were several after John was shot that were killed, and I think just one in Afghanistan was killed.
Mm-hmm. Well, just one is too many. But
yeah.
the main thing that I loved reading when I saw this is that one of your former sniper teammates ended up, you know, knocking off this sniper, so wasn't able to do any more damage or kill any of the other great Marines who were doing the heavy lifting.
And Army, let's give them their part.
And the Army, thank you very much. I appreciate your correcting me. All right, we have a lot of people still on hold who want to say thank you. Try to clear these calls, guys, because I want them to be able to come through. I understand that President Bush was hand-delivered a copy of this this book. Is that right, Connie?
That's right. That's right. A woman had made us a quilt. I don't know if you know, but women from all over the country make quilts, and they send them to the hospital to give to the soldiers and Marines who are there. And one woman in particular gave us a quilt of valor. Her name is Carolyn Townsend. She lives in Texas. And she, we became quite close on email, and she bought two books, one for herself and one to give to her good friend, who was a good friend of the Bushes. So it was hand-delivered to Laura Bush.
And the James A. Haley Veterans Rehabilitation Hospital in Tampa is giving a copy of My Miracle Marine to all polytrauma patients and their families. And Dr. Stephen Scott, he's head of the polytrauma unit, is particularly enthusiastic about distributing a book that addresses the spiritual aspects of healing, along with, of course, you know, the medical, medical miracles that took place. I mean, without these trained professionals, which are also part of God's plan, I mean, this would not have
exactly.
This would not have been happened. Let's go to Bobby in Houston, former Marine. Hoorah! Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Semper Fi, Laura, John. Hey, just wanted to, John wanted to let you know that, you know, this is the first time I called into your show, Laura. I listen a lot and appreciate everything that you do. And, John, I've been out 12 years, and I'm just so proud of you and appreciate everything. I've got an 8- and a 7-year-old that for 5 years, we've been praying every night for you guys. And that's all they know.
Awesome.
Thank you.
When they go to bed.
That's awesome.
If you could hear my 8-year-old now, if she knows where our freedom comes from.
Awesome.
She says, thank you, Lord, for these Marines that are protecting our freedom and protecting us. And she knows, and that is just so important. And I just thank you for your dedication, your sacrifice, all your buddies. And we will continue to pray for you. We've got a list of Marines by names. We're going to add you by name to that list that we pray for. And I love you. Appreciate everything. And can't say a whole lot more than that.
All right, Bobby. Well, emotional. The Marines, people think they're all big old tough Marines, but a lot of emotion comes into play.
We stick together, so that's the important part.
You do, and I'm proud of you. I know so many of our listeners across the country thank you and wish you well in this next challenge that you're really trying to overcome the short-term memory loss, and you're going to go to college, I have no doubt. I'm sure you'll get better grades than I got. So I have no – I'm not worrying about you at all, John. If you could get through what you've gotten through, this other stuff is going to be – this is going to be a piece of cake. So keep – wait a second. Is that a tattoo on your arm, young man?
No.
one of three.
Well, see, we just did a show on tattoos yesterday, and I said the Marines get a pass, even though I'm not a big tattoo fan. But they can basically, they can do the tattoo. I'm okay. If you're a Marine or you're a soldier, any troops want to get tattooed, it's not a problem with it.
I did it because my friends did it.
Peer pressure. Connie, thank you for doing what you do, and thanks for this book, My Miracle Marine, Connie McClellan and Corporal John McClellan. Best of luck to you, and remember, it's Laura, right? I'm teasing him on the break. I'm like, you're on the Laura Ingram Show. He's laughing. So your short-term memory is fine. Get out. All right, we're going to take a break. Thanks to the Marines and all of our troops. Remember, we pray for you every single day. I love that caller that called in. Kids pray for them. Knows where the freedom comes from. It's not free. Stay with us.
Hallelujah. Is anybody up there? Hallelujah. Is anybody?
The Laura Ingram Show.
A little girl needed braces, man. It cost a couple thousand bucks.